Today's shir is Masecht Nedarim Daf Lamed Daled. We're going to begin on Daf Lamed Gimel, Amid Beis, 8 lines from the bottom, Machsloy Dosoy, the 2 dots. As we discussed in the previous shir, our Mishnah discusses a situation where one person made a neder that he's not allowed to benefit from another individual, and the Mishnah said that under those circumstances, Perei Lo Yeschayva, he could still pay that person's debts. Shikla Shikla, he could pay his max shekel on his behalf. We discussed in the previous Gemara under what circumstances and why. And the next thing the Mishnah said was max lo yevedosai. If someone said he may not benefit, posh pshat in the Mishnah, before we get deeper into it in our Gemara, mitzvah Hashem, if somebody said he may not benefit for someone else, that individual finds, I say I'm not allowed to benefit from you, someone else, the person I'm not allowed to benefit from me, benefit from, finds my Aveda, the Mishnah says he may return it. Says the Gemara, Pligabar of Ami Ravasi. So Rav Ami Ravasi disagree how to understand the Mishnah. Chadomer, one says, Lo Shonar Elo Shenichse Machser Asurin Abal Aveda. The example I just gave. I said that I may not benefit from you. Under those circumstances, the Mishnah says, if you find my object, you're allowed to return it to me. Why? The chima hadalei, when you're returning this object to me, midin the nafshikum hadalei, you're only giving me back what rightfully belongs to me. Interesting to note that when this Gemara is mentioned in Masechta Ksubos, there the Gemara says the reason you're allowed to return it to me, even though I'm not allowed to have benefit from you, because you're returning it to me, you're doing a mitzvah. You're being mekayim the mitzvah, Shavas Aveda. So the Rishonim explain that the two Gemaras are actually not disagreeing. They're looking at it from two different perspectives. They say, in the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda, there are two elements. One is that when you find my item, you have to be busy in trying to return it to me. The second element is the actual returning. The Gemara over there is reflecting on the issue that you're not what I've had, I'm not what I've had enough from you, so how could I benefit from you taking and being busy with my item? So that the Gemara says, you're doing it because it's a mitzvah. Our Gemara is focused on the aspect that now you gave it to me. So how could you give me, how am I allowed to take something from you if I'm not allowed to have benefit from you? That the Gemara says, because you're not giving me something that doesn't belong to me. It's mine. However, continues the Gemara, what will be the other way around? That the nether is that you, who found my object, may not have hanor from me. There, says the Gemara, you would not be allowed to return the item to me, the Kamakanale Pruta de Rav Yosef. Because if you are having my item and are being busy with it, you're benefiting with what is known as Pruta de Rav Yosef. What is the Gemara Pruta de Rav Yosef? Gemara Masechta Matzia. The Gemara says as follows, we know that there are a number of types of Shomrim. Shemichinim, Shemisachar, Shoyal. So the Gemara says, if you find my object and you have it until you return it to me, you're a shaymechinim. You did me a favor. You didn't get paid for it. You didn't borrow it. So the Gemara says you're a shaymechinim. Says Rabbi Yosef, you're not a shaymechinim. You're a shaymesacher. You are benefiting. Because we know there's a famous rule, oisik b'mitzvah, potim in a mitzvah. So while you're taking care of my object, doing the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda, so you're benefiting that if somebody comes to you for tzedakah, you could say, I don't have to give tzedakah. I'm an oisik b'mitzvah. I'm potim in a mitzvah. So you are benefiting. So same here. If you're going to find my object, and while you're doing the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda, you're potim from giving tzedakah, you're exempt from giving tzedakah, that means you benefited from me. You saved the money you would give for tzedakah. And that's why, if you're not allowed to have benefit from me, the Mefarshim say, what would you have to do? Even if you found the object on the street, just leave it there. You can't pick it up, because that will put you into the category of oisik b'mitzvah and benefiting from me. Tosfos asks a simple question. So why don't we calculate how much you save? In other words, you're saving that while you're taking care of my object, you are not going to have to give tzedakah. So calculate how much tzedakah you saved, and that amount you'll have to pay. So Tosfos answers a very simple teretz. It's an impossible number to calculate. How do you know how many people would have come to you for tzedakah? How do you know how much you would have given them for tzedakah? So because of that, the Gemara is saying, leave it on the floor. The Rishonim also point out that why isn't this considered, as we discussed in the previous year, a situation of mavriach ari, that it's an indirect benefit for me. So as Farshim say, wherever the benefit is that is because of me, there isn't a third party. In the case that we spoke yesterday about mavriach ari, let's just to review, was a situation where I owed someone else money and you paid him on my behalf. So there's a third party. So the Mefarshim say only when there's a third party involved is it a situation of Mavriach Ari. But wherever it's just the two of us, it's not considered Mavriach Ari. Now let's go a little deeper in discussing this concept of Prutid Rabbi Yosef, Oisik B'mitzvah Potter Min HaMitzvah. Most Rishonim explain, let's say I find your object. It can happen, very simple story. I'm your neighbor, and I find an object of yours, and I take it into the house. And you're out of town for the next couple of weeks. So we're going to apply the concept of Oisik Min HaMitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah, and for the next couple of weeks, I won't have to do any mitzvahs. I'm busy with the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. I have your object in my closet. So Moshe Rishonim explained, Oisik Min HaMitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah only means while I'm actively involved in doing the mitzvah. But if I'm not actively involved in doing the mitzvah, I don't have the exemption of Oisik Min HaMitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah. The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says that perhaps I'm considered an Oisik B'mitzvah even if the item is in my closet, which is very difficult to understand the Ravid, the Mefarshim say. So if somebody has a mezuzah on his door, so it's a mitzvah. So according to the Ravid, we never have to do any mitzvahs. We're Oisik B'mitzvah. We have a mezuzah on our door. So the Mefarshim say that even according to the Ravid's opinion, mitzvahs that we always have to do, mezuzah, those aren't considered Oisik B'mitzvah. Hashavas Aveid is not a mitzvah that we always have to do, so we don't have the rule of Oisik B'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah. Although, there's a very interesting Yeshuas Yaakov. The Yeshuas Yaakov says, we know La Halacha L'Maaseh. Let's say I have my talis and tefillin in shul. And somebody comes into the shul, and he needs talis and tefillin. I'm not there that he can ask me, may he use it? The halacha is he can put on my talis and tefillin if he takes care of them properly. Why? There's a rule, nichalei le'inish nevid le b'mitzvah m'moinei. People are satisfied that my items should be used for a mitzvah. That's what halacha again also is. Let's say my dalaminim are in the shul, and I'm not there, and somebody walks in, he doesn't have dalaminim. Again, provided that he's careful with it, he's allowed to use it. Nichalei le'inish. Why? Says the Yeshuas Yaakov, because according to the Ravid, as soon as you're using my item, I become an Oisik B'mitzvah. I help you be Mekayim Mitzvah Talis Tefillin. I'm helping you do the mitzvah Dalaminim. So then, if I don't do a mitzvah that time, I'll always have an exemption. I could say I was an Oisik B'mitzvah, even according to the Ravid, that I'm not even doing anything about it. There's an interesting Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says that the Pasuk says that if you see your enemy's sheep, if you see a sheep, Hashav Teshivim. Even though he's your enemy, you have to help him. So ask the Chassam Sofer, then there's another Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Kisira Chamo Sanecha, if you see the donkey of your enemy, Roivitz Tachas Masoi, falling under the burden, V'chal Taltoi, you're going to hold back from helping, Azov Tazov, you have an obligation to help. Ask the Chassam Sofer, why do we need a second Pasuk? We already said you have to help every other Jew. So why is this special Pasuk needed? Says the Chassam Sofer, there's a very big chiddush in the second pasuk. We would think, let's say I'm in the middle of doing a mitzvah, and I walk by, and I'm doing a mitzvah, whatever mitzvah, and I walk by and I see your donkey collapsing under a burden. I could say, I don't have to help you. Oisik b'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah. Teaches us the Torah that there's a special din, that even though typically Oisik b'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah, here I do have to help you because your donkey is a living thing, and I have to help it not collapse under the burden. Rabbi Yosef Engel uses this Gemara to say a very interesting halacha. There's a question, he says, if goyim are obligated in the mitzvah of tzedakah. And he has a raya that they may be. He says, we know that the city of Stoim was destroyed because they didn't do tzedakah. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, if we're going to say that goyim are obligated in the mitzvah of tzedakah, we have a kasha in Al-Gemara. Al-Gemara says that oisik the mitzvah part of a mitzvah. I'm busy with the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. I'm exempt from giving tzedakah. Asks of Yosef Engel, perhaps tzedakah is different. Tzedakah is such a serious mitzvah that even a goy has to do it. So how can we bring a raya? Because how do we know oisik the mitzvah part of a mitzvah? Because we say in Krishna, belechtecha baderech, belechas tidoch. When you're doing your own business, you have to stop to say Krishna. Not when you're doing God's work. Not when you're doing a mitzvah. But maybe tzedakah is different. Tzedakah is a mitzvah that even goyim are obligated in. So from here we must say that the fact that the Gemara applies the concept of oisik b'mitzvah, potam and a mitzvah, even to tzedakah, that goyim aren't obligated in the mitzvah tzedakah. Aye, so how are we going to understand what happened to Stein? So why was the city destroyed if they didn't do tzedakah? They're not obligated to give tzedakah. So the Chaskuni says, Sodom wasn't destroyed because they missed doing a mitzvah of tzedakah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't destroy cities because they don't do mitzvah. There was a pervasive atmosphere of acting improperly. It was evident because they were never prepared to help anyone else, but not because they neglected to fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah. But then the Mefarshim asked a question. Where do we say the rule of oisik b'mitzvah, potam and a mitzvah? When we have two mitzvahs asay. Like our Gemara, we have a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, and we have the mitzvah of Tzedakah. So the halach is, v'am oisik b'mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, potam and a mitzvah, the mitzvah of Tzedakah. But Tzedakah, as the Mefarshim, also comes with two lavim. Lois amitz es levavcha, lois sikba itzis yotcha. So there's no rule of oisik b'mitzvah, potam and a mitzvah, when there are lavim involved also. So I saw a number of terutzim to this kasha. One terutz to this kasha I saw is that there are two types of lavim. Sometimes the Torah tells us that you're not supposed to do something. It's an aveira, it's a lav. Sometimes the lav is really only here to show the importance of the essay. Lois amitz is levavcha, lois sikvitz is yotcha, is not here to be an independent lav. It only is here to show how important the mitzvah assay of tzedakah is. So it's not considered a mitzvah, it's not considered a lav, it's considered a mitzvah assay. Another teretz is where do we not say the rule of oisik b'mitzvah potam na mitzvah by a lav when it involves a konvasay. In other words, let's say I'm doing a mitzvah and it involves carrying on Shabbos. So I can't say oisik b'mitzvah potam na mitzvah and I'm allowed to carry. You're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. Here, not giving tzedakah is a passive act. It's sheval taisa. I'm not giving tzedakah. There, even though it's a lav, the rule is oisik ben mitzvah, potam ben mitzvah. A third teretz that I saw is lois amitz is levavcha, v'loisik betz is yotcha, doesn't mean that if somebody comes and asks me for tzedakah, and I don't give, I'm right away over the lav. I'm not saying that's what you should do. But that, you're not over the lav. You're only over the lav if this becomes the way of your life. Whenever somebody asks you for tzedakah, you don't give tzedakah. But if somebody is busy with the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda, and during that time he can't do the mitzvah of tzedakah, that doesn't mean that he's over the lav. So our Gemara is saying that if you who found my object may not have benefit from me, you can't pick up the object to return it to me because you're benefiting. You won't have to give tzedakah at that time. And the Mefarshim ask, why don't we say that the mitzvahs asay of Hashavas Aveda should be doiched the lav of lo yachal dvorei? So even though there's a lav that you now ought to benefit me, shouldn't the mitzvahs asay of Hashavas Aveda override it? So the Mefarshim answer that the Dorim don't only have a lav, there's also mitzvahs asay, mitzvahs vasecha tishmar. So Hashavas Aveda's mitzvahs asay is not doiched lav vasay. So that's why this mandama says, you don't return it to me. The charamer, and the other mandama says, even, afil nixi balaveda sur al machzer, even if you're not allowed to benefit from me, mahadale, you are allowed to return it to me. We just explained that you're benefiting. You're benefiting that you won't have to give tzedakah. You're benefiting the prut of the Rabbi Yosef, says the Gemara lo shchiach. So most Rishonim explain the Gemara in the following way. This mandama is not disputing the concept of prut to the Rabbi Yosef. He's just saying that in this circumstance, prut to the Rabbi Yosef is not relevant. Why is prut to the Rabbi Yosef not relevant? because it's loishkiach. And I saw a number of pshatim explaining what does loishkiach mean. One pshat is that when I made a neder that you're not a benefit from me, I never intended that you shouldn't do the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda and not do the mitzvah Tzedaka. That wasn't what I meant in my nether. And therefore, you're allowed to return it to me. That's one pshat. Another pshat is, proof to the Rabbi Yosef Loshkech is like this. As we said before, the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda is a mitzvah that is not a hard mitzvah to do. So it really is not stand in the way of you giving tzedakah. And most people want to give tzedakah. So what are we concerned? That you're going to benefit by not giving tzedakah because you're busy with Hashavas Aveda? Nobody's going to take advantage of that. People want to give tzedakah. A third way of explaining the Gemara is that people coming to collect tzedakah, Baruch Hashem, we shall live in such a world, is not that common. And Memela, you're not really benefiting. What are we saying? That you're benefiting. That you won't have to give tzedakah. Nobody asks for tzedakah anyway. We live in a world where people, Baruch Hashem, have what they need. So, as we start the next Amud of the Gemara, there are actually two ways of explaining this Gemara. There's the Pshat of the Rosh, which is reflected in the wording of the Gemara, and there's the Pshat of the Ran, who has a different gears in the Gemara. We're going to follow the wording of the Gemara, which is the Pshat of the Rosh. Ask the Gemara, Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah, Makom Shenoten Lo Yischar, that if this is a place where reward is given if somebody returns a lost object of mine, the halacha is Tipla Hanor LaHekdesh. That in the case of our Mishnah, we'll explain this in a moment better, that reward money should be given to Hekdesh. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Lamanda Mafil Bishnechse Baal Aveda Achsurm Amachsa Nami Mahadr. If we'll explain, and again, this is the point of the Rosh, that our Mishnah is referring to a situation that I who lost the object may not benefit from you, and you who found the object may not benefit from me. We both made the Dharm on the other, each other. Hanna the Tani, now we can understand the Mishnah. Makom Shenoten Lo Yischar, Tipla Hanor LaHekdesh. So now when you return the item to me, I can't keep the reward because I'm benefiting from you. I keep the money in my pocket. I can't give you the reward because you're benefiting from me. So what should we do with that reward money? Tipla Hanor LaHekdesh. El Mandama asked the Gemara, according to the approach that we just learned, that Kshnechse Balaveda Surin Amachser, that in the case where you who found my object may not benefit from me, and therefore, Loi Mahadr, as I said before, if that's the case, that I made a neder, you're not allowed to benefit from me. So if you find my object in the street, you just leave it there. You don't pick it up, you don't return it. So how would you ever have a situation of a reward? A reward is only possible if you're giving it back to me. But if our Mishnah says that you're not allowed to have an offer from me, you don't give me back the object, so there's no reward. Amai, tipla anor lahegdish. There's no tipla anor lahegdish. There's no returning. So if the Mishnah is referring, says the Gemara, even to a case, if the Mishnah is holding that in a case that you're not allowed to benefit from me, you don't return it to me, so then how would you ever get a reward? Answers the Gemara, Achadik Tani. The case of the Mishnah is referring to such a situation where I may not benefit from you, where you may not benefit from me, but I may benefit from you. And this is the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara's case. You're allowed to benefit from me. Since you're allowed to benefit from me, when you find my object, you can return it to me. But most people, and we actually spoke about this somewhat in the previous year, most people don't want reward. They don't want my reward. They want the reward in the Olam HaEmes. They did a mitzvah. So now we have a situation. You return the item, no problem. There's no issur. Now I want to give you a reward. You say, I don't take rewards. If I keep that reward in my pocket, I benefited from you. The Mishnah says that we're referring to a case that I'm not allowed to benefit from you. So if you don't want to take the reward, what is my only option to do? Tipla anor lahekdesh. I have to give the reward to the hekdesh, otherwise I'll be benefiting from you. That's how most Rishonim explained the Gemara. Ikka d'masna, lo b'hai lishna. Others explain Rav Ami and Rav Asi in the following way. Plagued by Rav Ami Rav Asi, the machlokes Rav Ami Rav Asi in the following case. Chad Omer once says, Loi shana al b'shenichsi balaveda sura amaksir. If I said that I'm not allowed to benefit from you, even if you find my item, you're allowed to return it to me. We spoke about before that you're benefiting, that while you're returning the item, you don't have to do tztaka. Prove to Rav Yosef, says the Gemara, as we said on the bottom of the Amud before. The Gemara is not focused. Prove to Rav Yosef Loishchich, with the different pshatim that we said. Aval, while we are locha, nisse machse surma balaveda. Let's say I'm not allowed to benefit from you. Vira aloch is loy mahadalei. You're not allowed to return it to me. Why? Mishum dekama hanalei. I'm getting hanah from you. I'm not allowed to benefit from you, and you returning the item to me is benefit. As all the rishonim asked the obvious question, you're only returning something that's mine anyway. The point is, maybe if not for you, I would have never found it. And since it's a direct benefit, going back to something we discussed at the beginning of the year, it's you and me, no third party, so it's not considered mavriach hari, and therefore I'm not allowed to benefit from you. Right, that's the Chad Omer. And the other man says, Afilu nechse machsen nesurim abal aveda. Even if I'm not allowed to benefit from you, mahadr, mutter, I still might take the item. I am benefiting from you. The Gemara says it's not considered a benefit. Dechi mahadalei, because all you're returning to me, mida de nafshika mahadalei, you're only giving me back what's rightfully mine. And I would have gotten it back anyway, the Rishonim say, and therefore you're not really doing me any favor. It's my item anyway. We go back to what we learned at the beginning of Shir. You're only doing a mitzvah, and that's why it's mutter. Now ask the Gemara, Tanan, we go back to our Mishnah. It said in our Mishnah, Makam Shnoitin Laschar, if a place where reward is given, Tipla Anor LaHegdish. So the reward should be go to Hegdish. Says the Gemara, Bishlam El Mandam Afil B'Shenichse Machsir Asurin Abal Aveda, that even in a case where I may not benefit from you, the halacha is you still return the item, Hani, the Mataritz Makam. So we could understand the case of the Mishnah. Where the case of the Mishnah is that I'm not allowed to, what we spoke about before, I'm not allowed to benefit from you. Since I'm not allowed to benefit from you, you return the item. The Gemara just said that you're allowed to return the item because it's really my item. You're not giving me something that's not mine. But if you don't want to take the reward, then I'm benefiting from you by me being able to keep the reward. So what must I do with the reward? Tells us the Mishnah, Tipla Hanor LaHegdish. However, ask the Gemara, El Lamandam B'shenichse Machser Asurin, if in a case that if I'm not allowed to benefit from you, you don't return the item to me, so how can we have a case of reward? Reward is only possible that you give me something. But if I'm not allowed to benefit from you, then you never return it. If I don't get any Aveda, I'm certainly not giving a reward. So how do we understand the Mishnah? Hech Mitarat Makam. How do we understand that we ever would have a situation that I would want to give you a reward, and you would refuse the reward, and we have a question what to do with the reward. If I'm never getting it, there's no reward. And that's why the Gemara says, on this approach, we remain with Akasha. Says the Gemara, Amarava. Here, we're going to learn the Gemara like the Ran learns the Gemara. The Gemara is referring to the following situation. Haislafon of Kikash al Hefker. There's a loaf of bread that's ownerless. V'omer, kikas a hegdish. So the Ran explains. The case here is that within my dollar amis, there's this ownerless loaf of bread. Since the halacha, says the Ran, is dollar amis shel odom, a person's dollar amis koinus loy, everything in my dollar amis, if it's ownerless, considered mine, so I could have kept it for myself. I have the option, however, of saying I want to give it to hegdish. That's how the Ran learns the Gemara. And again, that's how we're going to learn the Gemara. Other Rishonim say that it doesn't have to be within my Dalat Amos. Since I could have reached it, it's in a situation that I could have easily obtained it and kept it for myself. So since I could have kept it for myself, says the Ra'im, I have the ability to be Magdish. So again, stresses the Ran. Where is this item? The item is not in my house. The item is in the street. It's in an ownerless area. But it's within my Dalat Amos, and I decided I'm Magdishit. And now, after I was Magdishit, not the La'achla. I pick it up, and I decide to eat it for my own purposes, malafi kulay. I was over the avera me'ila. And we need to speak for a moment in understanding this Gemara. The Ran helps. First of all, what's the me'ila? As we know, me'ila means that if there's an item that's hegdish and I use it for my own purposes, that's the avera me'ila. The punishment, the chiy by me'ila is I have to give hegdish to Karen, add a chaymish, and bring a carbon asham me'ilas. Says the Ran. The case here, if, says the Ran, we'll explain it this way. Be'ezer Hashem. If I have an item in my home I have an item that's hegdish, and I take that item and I pick it up, that's not called me'ila, because nothing changed. It was my home before, and it was my home now. Here, however, explains the Ran, we're referring to a situation that the item is in the street, and it's hegdish. It's not in my home. I'm not watching it. The moment I pick it up, with the intent to keep it for myself, I was Ivan Me'ila, because I took it from the Rishus of Hegdish to my own Rishus. And that's why the Gemara says, I'm Ivan Me'ila.
Even though you didn't actually eat it.
I didn't do anything. I just picked it up. But transferring it from the Rishus of Hegdish with that Maisa Kinyan to my Rishus is a Maisa Me'ila, and I'm Chayiv for Me'ila for the entire value of the item. The Shita gives a easier pshat. We're not learning with the Shita pshat, just to tell you the Shita pshat. The Shita says that the Gemara here, if it was in my house I'm much more sensitive to the status of different items. So an item that's hegdish in my house, I'm less likely to go and take it for myself. Because as we know, the definition of meal is only b'shogig, when I did it by mistake. So my house, to make this kind of mistake is less likely than to make it in the street. But again, according to the Ran, since it's in the street, so as soon as I pick it up, I'm over me'ila. However, again, the same story. It's in the street, but I didn't pick it up to take for myself. I took it like Risha Labanov. I want to be a good father. I want to give it to my sons. There halach is malafi tovus hanoshpa. I have me'ila, and we have a machlokes rishonim. We'll learn again the pashup shot. I did me'ila. But it can't be considered me'ila that I took the item that belongs to Hegdish for myself. I didn't take it for myself. I took it for my children. So what did I benefit from Hegdish? All I benefited from Hegdish was that my children are very happy with their father, that the father is giving them gifts. That satisfaction, like most things in life, have a monetary value. That is the extent of my me'ila. That's how most Rishonim learn. Other Rishonim learn, So Me'iri brings two pshatim. When am I over Me'ila? Am I over Me'ila the moment I pick it up with that intent? That's how we learned. Or am I only over Me'ila when I actually give it to my children? Another machlokes rishonim, which actually could be somewhat connected. I have here much more limited Me'ila. I'm only over Me'ila for the value of the satisfaction my children have in the gift I'm giving them. But there's a difference between that value and the value of the object. Will my children be responsible for that difference, or no one will be responsible for that difference? Also, machlokes rishonim. That's this Gemara. Actually, as the rishonim point out, it's a very nice piece of Gemara. I hope we learned it well. But what does that have to do with the sugyas that we're learning? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is, as we're going to learn tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, the sugya of yesh me'ila b'kainamis. If when I make something osur with a neder, is there a concept of me'ila? So since we're going to discuss me'ila in tomorrow's shir, that's why the Gemara discussed me'ila, Rava's din of me'ila. That's one pshat. The other pshat is much more related to the next Gemara we're going to learn. Here, the Gemara discussed transferring items from the rishus of Hegdish to my rishus. And that's when it becomes me'ila. The next issue, the next sugya we're going to learn, also discusses the transfer of an item from one rishus to another rishus. And therefore it's very connected, and that's why the Gemara first brought down the din of Rava, that spoke about transferring items from one rishus to another, to lead up to the next Gemara, which is as follows. Kikri alecha. I make the following nether. My loaf should be also to you. And then, v'nasnu le'b'matana. I go and I give you the loaf. May you eat that loaf or not? May you benefit from that loaf? Why? Because the language, the wording that I used in my nether is somewhat self-contradictory. On one hand, I said, Kikri Amalai. I said, my loaf, which says, Ki Issa B'Drishusay Asr. As long as it's my loaf, you may not eat it. But once it's not my loaf, you may eat it. So now when I give it to you too, as a gift, you're certainly allowed to eat it. And as the Gemara is going to tell us tomorrow, certainly if I had a loaf, and I give it to a second person, and I said, you may not benefit it from it, and I give it to someone else, and that person gives it to the person that's not allowed to benefit, that's certainly mutter. Here, I'm giving it to you directly. So I'm not over the nether. Because once I give it to you, it's not kikri. Or on the other hand, there's another word I used. I used the word alecha. Adum alecha amalei, alei shivisi hegdish. And by using the word alecha, I meant that this loaf to you should always be hegdish, and you may never use it. So how do we interpret the nether? The word kikri allows me to give it to you for a gift. The word alecha doesn't allow me. Amalei, that was the question that was asked to Rava. Amalei, so Rava says, and again, we're learning the Gemara like Duran explains the Gemara. Pshita de afagav de yovle matana. Even though I gave it to you, asr, you can't benefit from me. So obviously, what is Rava saying? That the word we consider the primary word in this nether is the word alecha. But lemaisa, I use the word kikri. Ela kikri alecha lafukimai. What am I going to do with the word kikri, which says only as long as it's my kikr? And now it's no longer my kikr. Says the Gemara, lav lafuki degan v'gminei. The Gemara, as the Ran says, is a bit mia. Do you want to say that what I meant with the nether, that if you went and stole the kikr from me, you may not benefit from me? You may not benefit from me? Says the Gemara, that what I meant with a nether? Is a person going to make a nether and say, you're not going to benefit from my kikr because I'm worried that you're going to steal the kikr, and I'm telling you that if you steal the kikr, it's also the nether? Is that what, first of all, who makes such a nether? And if you are ganef, that you're stealing my kikr, you're worried about my nether? Amalei lafuka deizamnilei. What it means, says Rava, what I meant to say with kikr is as follows. That even if I invite you to my home as a guest, since I said kikri, that this loaf that's mine, you may not benefit from, I could serve you a meal, but I can't serve you that loaf. Even though I invited you, that doesn't change. The kikr you can't eat. That's how the Ran explains the Gemara. The Mefarish has a different pshat. The Mefarish explains that the Gemara says as follows. And there's a very, very important nafkamina between these two pshatim we're going to discuss. La'loch la'maisa. Let's say I invite you to my home. I invite you to my home for a meal. And then I go and I say kikri. Says the Mefarish, I'm not going to learn the words because that's not the point I want to make. That if I say the word kikri, the nether is not effective. Why? So explain the Mefarish. And according to the Mefarish, once I invite you to my home, you become an owner in the food. So I can't prohibit you from food that you own. You're an owner. It's your item, not my item. So the Gemara is saying, only if I ask the kikr before I invite you is the nether effective. But if I prohibit the kikr after I invited you, it's too late. What's the nafkamina between the Ran and the Mefarish? The Ramah says the following shaila. Let's say I invite you to my home for a meal. Let's say I invite you to my home for a meal. And you have my food. And we know that to make kedushin with a woman, you have to take your food, something that belongs to you, to do kedushin. Is that food considered yours that you can make a kedushin? I invited you to a meal. I give you food. Is that food yours now that you could be mekadesh an issue with that food? The Ramah says, yes, it's yours. The Taz says, it's not yours, it's mine. What's the machloikus of the Ramah and the Taz? The machloikus of the Ran and the Rosh. The Ran says that the food that's in my house, even though I invited you, it's not your food, it's my food. The Mefarish says, once I invited you, the food becomes yours. The Nidri's reason wants to explain that we could perhaps limit the machloikus of the Ran and the Mefarish, the machloikus of the Ramah and the Taz, to the following situation. He says, you know, there are two ways of serving people their food. You could give each person an individual portion, or you could put a communal plate in the middle of the table. Says the Nidri's reason, based on the Magen Avraham. If I give you a plate with a portion, that becomes yours. On the other hand, if there's a communal plate, that does become yours, and you will not be allowed to use it to be Mekadosh and Isha, according to the Rad. Where is this Shaila very relevant l'aloch l'maisa? There are many areas in halacha where this Shaila is relevant l'aloch l'maisa. One is by matzah. We know the halacha is that the matzah that you eat, Pesach by night, has to be matzah that belongs to you. So now the question is, let's say I invite a guest to my home, and I give a matzah for the Seder. I give a matzah. Do I have to go through a formal kinyan that the matzah should be his? Perhaps according to the Ran, I should have to go through a formal kinyan. Otherwise the matzah is considered still mine. Or do we not have to give a formal kinyan? The Paiskim say that it's a famous shaila. There are people that are makbid, that if they have people who are not their own family members, their own family members are part of my family, but are not family members, and they're sitting by my Seder, I have to actually be makna them the matzah. The Shaar Mitzvah Balacha brings a raya from the Haggadah itself that you don't have to. He says, we say at the beginning of the Haggadah, Kal Dichvin, Yesiv Yechel. What are we saying? Yesiv Yechel, you could eat it immediately. You don't have to have a kinyan. Another Shaila is the following. Let's say I invite you to my house for the Sudas Purim. And you remember that you didn't do the Mitzvah Shalach Manas. And you don't have any food of your own in my house. But you have the portion I served you. Could you take that food and be Mekayim Mitzvah Shalach Manas with it? Is it considered yours and you could do Shalach Manas with it? Or is it considered mine and you can't be Mekayim Mitzvah Shalach Manas with my food? Another interesting Shaila comes up very often in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say you go to a place that you're concerned that the people who you're eating by are not makbid, are not careful, Mitzvah Tluyas Ba'aretz. Trumas and Maestras. So what many people do is, hopefully quietly, they quietly take off their own Trumas and Maestras, that the food should be allowed to be eaten. However, you only could take off Trumas and Maestras from food that you own. So if it's not considered yours, you're taking off the Trumas and Maestras as a meaningless act. If it's considered yours, it's considered yours, and you can take off the Trumas and Maestras. One more Shaila, where this subject comes up, is people go to weddings, to simchas, to affairs, and they take food home. So if the food is considered theirs, so they're allowed to take the food home. It's their food. If the food is not considered theirs, how can you take the food home? So Rav Volzner has a tshuva about this Shaila. And he says the following. He says, certainly, it goes back to what we said earlier, if you're served a portion, and you're not hungry, you don't want to eat, and you ask the caterer to wrap up your portion, and you'll eat it at home tomorrow, whatever, that's certainly mutter. You don't have to eat the portion at the wedding hall, you could eat at the catering hall, you could eat the portion at home. But let's say, it's not you're taking the portion, you're taking this food on the table. Are you allowed to take that food home? So Rav Volzner says, in America, Rav Volzner from Eretz Yisrael, he says, in America, where all the food that's left over is thrown out, then you shouldn't be allowed to take it. You should be allowed to take it. Better than taking it to the garbage, you're taking it home. But let's say, which is very common the case, even in America, that the caterers are going to use that food the next night. Or there may be other guests coming, and if you take food home, there won't be enough food left for the guests. Are you allowed to take the food home or not? So he says, you're only allowed to take home your portion. If the caterer wants to keep the food for himself, or the Baal Simcha wants the food for other guests that will be coming to the Simcha, and you taking the food, they won't have food, it's also to take the food home. Then he even says, an interesting Shaila, let's say you were invited to attend the wedding with your wife. You were invited to attend the Simcha with your wife, and you came and your wife didn't come. Can you say that since my wife was invited, and if she would have come, she would have gotten a portion, so she didn't come, then I'm going to take the portion home for her? Or is the portions only for the guest who actually attend the simcha? He says the portions are only for the guests that attend the simcha. To say that my wife could have come, and if she would have come, she would have gotten the portion, doesn't give you a right to take the portion if there's other guests, or the food's not going to be thrown out.